Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That's who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Enmity. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. This is in the book of Genesis chapter 3. I'm reading verse 14. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Verse 15. "And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Verse 16. "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Sin came into the world through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The amount of knowledge today through the internet makes it even easier to live a comfortable life without asking God. After sin came into the world, God put a hatred or distance between mankind and the devil to make sure the humble had time to hear God clearly before being drawn away through the lust of their flesh. The wise still have something that looks like a kill zone in military terms that allows them to see the devil coming. The devil tries to remove that enmity in your life using ways that seem right by appealing to your carnal desires. Sorrows are increasing since COVID, and everyone is more prone to disease and infection. However, those submitted to God, ready for his appearing, fear and acknowledge God in these sorrows. James wrote in James chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. I'm reading James chapter 4, starting in verse 3. "Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." Verse 4. "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." The word enmity in Strong's is number 2189. It comes from a feminine of another word meaning hostility, by implication a reason for opposition or hatred. God is your heavenly Father if you're born again. He knows what will make you weak and make you unfruitful in his calling on your life. You will not be worthy of his goodness and power without hearing his voice consistently. Church membership today is open to all, but especially those who have a friendship with this world, so the gospel is well funded. The church not experiencing the goodness of God through obedience under pressure. Asking more questions has lost its power. Those destined for salvation have the cross before them and the world behind them. In the Living Bible, James chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says this, "And even when you do ask, you don't get it because your whole aim is wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You're like an unfaithful wife who loves her husband's enemies. Don't you realize that making friends with God's enemies, the evil pleasures of this world, makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, that if your aim is to enjoy the evil pleasure of the unsaved world, you cannot also be a friend of God. You will experience hostility or hatred spiritually by serving your flesh if you're born again. Anything in this world you obtained as a child of God without acknowledging God is the fruit of unbelief. The new converts became double-minded when they saw others enjoying what they had lost for following Christ. James 1 and verse 8. If Jesus is your friend, you have repented deeply. You walk with him and talk with him along life's narrow way with no agenda. James also wrote in James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. This is in James chapter 4. I'm reading verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Verse 9. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The word afflicted in Strong's is number 5003. It comes from another word, means to be wretched, that is, to realize one's own misery. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, James 4:9 says, as you draw near to God, be deeply penitent and grieve, even weep over your disloyalty. Let your laughter be turned to grief and your mirth to dejection and heartfelt shame for your sins. You should have a confidence in his ability to restore all things, not your own. Be afflicted means to be deeply penitent and go without. Your laughter from getting what you wanted through the flesh should be turned to mourning and weeping. You need godly sorrow, not worldly sorrow, for true repentance. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 13 to 17. This is James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 13. Let no man say, when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If you're still living by faith today, after you lost something for following Christ, you are blessed. Do not live by sight and rely on the Holy Spirit for what you need to know now. The flesh is your number one enemy, not the devil. Only God can see the end from the beginning. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus paid the price, so with the gift of eternal life you can live, get to know Jesus and the Father like a brother, a best friend, and a lover. John 17:3. Now it's possible to stop sinning. John 8:11. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. God has declared the consequences of sin in his word and through the prophets. But no one wants to study the word of truth until it's too late. Many converted Jews that heard Peter on the day of Pentecost said, already confessed their sins publicly and were baptized by John in the Jordan 3 years before, but they did not repent deeply enough so as to hate the flesh. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Verse 12. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hate the flesh and use the gift of eternal life instead to do his perfect will by faith. Start by obeying the Spirit consistently in the small things first. God's calling will appear too much if you're not taking up your cross daily. If you're living by sight, enter his kingdom now by humbling yourself and abide as long as you can. In areas where you are not denying yourself, you will not hear clearly. If you want to be saved by his power, acknowledging God has to become a habit, not just an option. If you cannot hear his voice in complicated situations, find out why now. The Jewish converts spreading the gospel in the persecution had to flee and use whatever he provided for their families. They had to hear, trust, and obey to learn God's ways. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 3, and reading verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. Jewish converts that settled in Laodicea became blind, wretched, and miserable, poor and naked. Later, when the town became an important place of trade, they prospered and forgot the need to hear, trust, and obey under pressure. If necessary, repent of doing dead works and do your first works over. Faith towards God is not just for meeting your earthly needs, but faith is given so you can let go of whatever is hindering you doing things his way. After losing enmity or hatred with the world, the church in Laodicea justified using natural wisdom, gifts, and talents without asking God. Do not deceive yourself. Jesus, without using his divine power, never ran out of grace and godly wisdom because he was humble. And you can also experience the goodness of God consistently by asking the Lord what to do in fiery trials. In the Message Bible, James 4 and 4 says this, you're cheating on God if all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get. You end up enemies of God and his way. I had to hear God visiting many foreign countries in my training, where nothing was displayed in English or easily signposted. I often had no local currency, trying to reach many churches without a translator or an assistant with me. After hearing the truth about how Jesus overcame the cross, you can still have an enmity with God through shallow repentance. Use earthly wisdom sparingly, or you become an enemy of the cross, even if you are born again. Philippians 3 and verse 18. You need godly wisdom in abundance if you want to stop sinning. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9, I'm reading to verse 12. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In the Living Bible, 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10 says this, but people who long to be rich soon begin to do all kinds of wrong things to get money, things that hurt them and make them evil-minded and finally send them to hell itself. For the love of money is the first step towards all kinds of sin. Some people have even turned away from God because of their love for it, and as a result have pierced themselves with many sorrows. Earthly wisdom is like a paracetamol for many sorrows. You will only find contentment using godly wisdom to solve your earthly problems in these last days. Lay hold on eternal life with both hands, and you'll be given a solid foundation without the things of the world says are necessary to be happy. Lies come through those no longer fighting the fight of faith in the church. If you believe it's okay to do what you want when you want in any area, you have already rejected the gift of eternal life and stop striving. Pursue the six things listed here if you are behind spiritually. Number one, righteousness is determined by your actions. Number two, godliness without suffering is not perfect. Number three, faith is not just for miracles. Four, God's love is for his enemies to enjoy as well. Number five, patience allows others time to repent and change. Six, meekness will move things you know from your head to your heart. Without being controlled by the Spirit, you are earthly minded. To pursue these six things, you will need humble circumstances. James 1 and verse 9. You may not love this world now, but if your aim is to live a comfortable life with earthly wisdom, you will lose your soul over a period of time. James 3 and verse 15. Live by faith and not by sight consistently, or you will not have a crown of righteousness that is appearing. James 1 and verse 12. Jesus taught in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, I'm reading verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Anyone born again by accepting Jesus as a Saviour will experience the goodness of God initially. Thinking about what is coming next will prevent you hearing the instructions needed for the goodness of God to continue. Seek his kingdom by asking God where to sit or what to eat or what to wear or who to talk to or not. You will not hear his voice if you are no longer in right standing with God. Comfortable Christians assume they are righteous following the doctrines of a church. Righteousness is something you do in complicated situations by hearing and obeying his voice. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm starting in verse 1. Would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Verse 2. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Verse 4. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. The flesh is completely corrupt, so keep denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. Luke 9 and verse 23. Jesus paid the price so that you can ask God any question on any subject. You may hear a voice saying, "Is it really necessary to ask God everything?" Living by sight in this world, you will not be ready for his appearing. The devil will say, "There are good people in this world making some good decisions like God. Will they really perish and die?" Genesis 3 and verse 5. Only God is good. One third of the angels fell for a lie that they could do something good without hearing and obeying God. They will end up in the lake of fire for listening to the devil. God does not have two standards. Revelation 20 and verse 10. Eve committed spiritual adultery by taking matters into her own hands, by seeing what was available. With lack of humility, Eve was tempted, and you will be too if you do not deepen your foundations. The devil is a charming celebrity, and enchanting in a deceptive way. Those with the wrong foundation listen and lose the simplicity of obeying Christ for the sake of their flesh. Paul wrote in Philippians 3, 10 and 11. This is in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 10. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Verse 11. "If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." The word "attain" in Strong's is number 2658. It comes from some other words which means to meet against, that is, arrive at, literally or figuratively, attain or come to. What have you lost for following Christ already? Paul lost a traveling career as a religious Pharisee and experienced the goodness of God through deep repentance. Acts chapter 9, verses 4 to 6. Paul could only see darkly through a glass. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. But by preaching the truth in love, he got to know Jesus more and received a regular supply of godly wisdom in complicated situations. The power can rest on you too, but not without a consistent supply of grace from obeying God by the Spirit in all areas, right up to the end of your life. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. If you are faithful to the truth and conviction under pressure, you will also attain to the resurrection of the dead. The pride of life does not come from living by faith. 1 John 2 and verse 16. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?'" Verse 23. "And then I will profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" The church today believes that hearing God in one or two areas is, or just in ministry, is enough. No one will ever be ready for his appearing by doing miracles or operating in the gifts of the Spirit. God can speak through a donkey. If you do get puffed up with knowledge and ministry, God also resists. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. You can use the gifts of the Spirit to hear God without ever getting to know God in complicated situations with the gift of eternal life. God uses those who have learned to obey the Spirit consistently in humble circumstances to help others in the church. Ephesians chapter 4, 7 to 13. Those seeking a career by hearing God in ministry are deceiving themselves. Jesus will not know you as a servant if you keep departing from the truth under pressure. Learn to hear his voice and do not depart from the truth at home first. 1 Timothy 3, verses 4 to 5. Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm reading verse 28. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Comfortable churches doing what they want when they want assume they can be forgiven at the end. Confession and repentance are two different things. Those that have a fear of God repent deeply now and study the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. The Father knows everything about us. It would not be wrong casting anyone into hell. By grace, you should have some proof that you're serious about overcoming sin and temptation through things passing away in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Jesus taught in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verses 24, I'm reading to verse 31. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, starting in verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Verse 25. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that which is thine. Verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou art wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. Verse 29. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be given away even that which he has. Verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. The word slothful in Strong's is number 3636. It comes from another word which means tardy, that is indolent, figuratively irksome, grievous, slothful. The word unprofitable in Strong's is number 888, and it comes from some other words meaning useless, that is euphemistically unmeritous, unprofitable. Lazy and wicked servants in the body of Christ will be cast into outer darkness. Repent deeply and you'll be given more grace to do the things God has ordained with the gift of eternal life that you were given like everyone else at salvation. Those using their God-given talents the right way with Jesus as the functional Lord of their lives will be rewarded. Jesus is the Son of Man, and coming back to judge the whole world in terms of how much they could hear, trust, and obey the voice of God just like he did when he was on the earth. The holy angels all work twice as hard today, since one third of them left heaven and started following the devil. None of the angels are late. The word tardy means late, behind, or not being punctual. The word indolent means to avoid any exertion or go through any hardness for the sake of something good. You will get a prompting through the dictates of the Spirit. If you consistently do what he says at the right time, you will never serve your flesh again. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading verses 3 to 5. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Verse 5. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. A spiritual war is raging for everyone's soul. And the devil be given authority to do what he wants on this earth after Jesus has taken his bride. Live like a soldier, or there'll be no enmity left between you and the devil at the end. Timothy was lazy, not taking his share in the afflictions of the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Those that look at what others have gained in this world and do things without asking God are listening to the devil. the needs of a soldier come through following instructions and carrying out orders. I maintain and check my communication is functioning properly all the time by using it to ask God small things. I value asking God detailed questions, not just new areas where I don't know what to do. Strive lawfully to overcome the temptation in this world to be ready, or you will stop asking God for the sake of something that is only temporal. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 31 and 32. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm reading verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. By making yourselves comfortable, you can become a disciple of the devil. Do not condemn yourself, but seek why you are not asking God in more areas with the gift of eternal life. What will you do with your one talent when the pressure of obeying God and your spiritual foundation is shallow? If you are late for God's appointment or keep making excuses, you will be left behind. Jesus continued in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24, I'm reading to verse 27. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Those not learning to hear, trust, and obey God under pressure will be washed away like those building sandcastles on the seashore when it's too late to repent. Those things you obtained in a hurry without asking God are stolen property and replace something better you could have obtained through patience and godliness. God's solutions include a house that is eternal, not just temporal. Through looking at what others have gained in this world, you will have doubts. We read in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. This is in the book of Isaiah chapter 55. I'm reading verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Sinners have a free will, so they can repent after reaping the consequences of sin and start following Jesus by the Spirit. Those woken up in the last days that are born again, that do not love God and his word, will fall asleep again. Matthew 25, verses 1 to 5. Unless they wake up to righteousness through conviction, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34, and repent of dead works. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus unless you endure correction. If God is your friend, then he is near and not separated through you taking over the lordship. Jesus is the truth. And the only reason he's not near now is because you have departed from the truth. God is light and cannot fellowship with those using their minds to make decisions. Ephesians 5 and verse 14. Jesus was speaking in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 29 to 31. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm reading verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, and the gospel's, Verse 30, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in this world to come eternal life. Verse 31, but many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Starting in the Spirit is not a guarantee you'll be ready at his appearing. This is the greatest time to be alive for those who are humble, those that have a confidence in their doctrines and their ability to hear God in ministry will not be in the first resurrection. Those still holding on to anything in this world will be left behind too. Those working out their own salvation in fear and trembling to obey God as the pressure increases will be first. James wrote in James chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. This is the book of James, chapter 4, and reading verse 5. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy? Verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. His jealous love is the most powerful force on the face of the earth that will guarantee you reach your full potential in Christ through meekness and humility. You do not need a partnership with anyone, charitable status, or a sponsorship from your local government to finish your race. God is either resisting or assisting you. Use the peace of God, and you will know how he's going to respond to your actions or reactions in advance. God has a consistent response to sin based on his own definitions for your life. You do not need anyone else to tell you what sin is and what it's not with a natural education if you're following Christ. James said in James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. This is James chapter 4. I'm reading verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Verse 2, ye lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. You are put under grace to learn from your mistakes and remove anything that does not look like Christ, trusting God in complicated situations through repentance. There should not be anything in your possession that you sought because you wanted it or desired it. Some believe God helps those who help themselves. What you obtained resisting the Holy Spirit through lust has already altered and filled your spiritual foundation with more lies. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. This is Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. By not asking enough questions in all areas, you are in danger of doing dead works again. The shallow gospel today is only about repentance from bad works. The correct foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God is rarely taught or emphasized. If you live by faith, doing what God tells you to do under pressure, you are becoming perfect. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 13. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. The goodness of God at salvation is there to help you get on the narrow way. Romans 2 and verse 4. There is no more grace to use your mind to make any decisions, because Jesus is Lord. Jesus never sinned by listening and obeying the Holy Spirit consistently. He was tempted by the devil and never used his divine power. The narrow way is the only way that leads to life. As man's education system using the mind to come to the truth is completely corrupt. the pressure on the narrow way exposes areas where you have not firmly established Jesus as Lord. Do not be lazy and repent. Jesus is the door to the sheepfold for those with a heart after God who have chosen to follow Christ that will soon close. John 10 and verse 7. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20 to 22. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and reading verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Verse 22. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. There is no enmity between Jews and Gentiles any more. Ephesians 2 and verse 16. What matters now is that everyone responds to conviction and keeps repenting. Those that hear and know the truth deeply are set free. John 8 and verse 32. To continue in his word, even as situations change, respond to conviction and study the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Your righteousness can exceed anyone else using the knowledge of good and evil. If you want God's righteousness, you have to become a fool for Christ by taking up your cross daily. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. You can be convicted of what is wrong in your own life and still have a confidence in the flesh unless you repent deeply. Even those living close to you can see your mistakes, but the Holy Spirit can expose those motives and intents of the heart that need deep repentance, ready for his appearing. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. This is James chapter 1, and read verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. The new converts were getting angry in other countries because of what was still in their own hearts. James was writing to those born again through conviction to live by faith after being oppressed spiritually. The devil used them like puppets to kill their own Messiah through a confidence in the flesh. Those receiving Peter's message became children of God, spreading the gospel through being baptized again. Peter called the Jewish converts the elect because they had lost everything in a short time to follow Christ in the face of severe persecution. Maintain enmity with the world as the devil gets access to all those putting their own needs first. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. This is Hebrews chapter 2, and read verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 2. For if the word was spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Verse 4. God also, bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, with diverse miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. The Jews had many traditions to keep their conscience quiet, like some sleepy, comfortable churches today, turning Christianity into just another religion. The conviction of killing the Christ produced the right fruits of repentance in those hearing Peter on the day of Pentecost. Those seeking a clear conscience gave the good confession that the religious leaders had killed their own Messiah. This created fresh enmity, but not from an anger or bitterness or feeling betrayed by their leaders. Those giving the good confession were convicted personally by the Spirit of murdering and rejecting the Christ on the day of Pentecost. By giving earnest heed to the teachings of Jesus and doing them in complicated situations, you will be first. There is grace and forgiveness if you make a few mistakes. However, meditate on the fact that every transgression or disobedience will receive the just recompense of reward without deep repentance. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. This is the book of Philippians chapter 2 and reading verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in chapter 5, on Work Out Your Salvation, on page 82, Joseph Escott writes, you are commanded to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Understanding the consequence for not having a reverential fear of Jesus and his lordship should produce godly fear in your heart. Knowledge and wisdom begin with the fear of the Lord. The beginning place for maturing in your salvation is a reverential fear of the Lord. You do not deserve the grace you have and continue to receive. There are consequences for rejecting what Jesus did on the cross and instead yielding to the enemy. Rebellion makes a mockery of what Jesus did for you. The truth is so important, I want you to take a moment to meditate on this. These are important questions to ask yourself. Number one, do I comprehend the magnitude of God's love and mercy in my life? Number two, do I take his mercy for granted? And number three, does my fruit say I fear and honor the Lord, or does it indicate a heart that considers his lordship to be unnecessary? Let the Holy Spirit examine whether or not you fear the Lord. If you do not, why is this necessary foundation missing in your life? A lack of the fear of the Lord costs you greatly. God's promises are for those who are humble and broken before him. If you hold on to pride, your lordship, you lessen the chances of receiving grace. The foundation of the fear of the Lord should be maintained at all costs. Joseph Hedgecock, the author of the book My Sheep and My Voice, explains the importance of using a notebook to record areas where you are still sinning under pressure, and to record the steps you take towards true repentance. Rarely will you find any church anywhere that believes consistent obedience to the Spirit through repentance is important for salvation. If you preach on the literal functional lordship of Jesus Christ under pressure in a religious church, many will leave. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 3. I'm reading verse 4. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 6. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. God has made sure that the temptation increases gradually in every generation, so that everyone has enough time to stop using their minds to come to the truth and rely on the Holy Spirit instead. Those who are worthy of the kingdom of God have peace and joy all the time and can rejoice as the pressure increases. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. God has used natural disasters to halt the rampant outgrowth of wickedness in this world. He has sent preachers of righteousness to help those who want to repent. There is grace now in the last days, but not for the lazy. Grace is for those who want to hear, trust, and obey the Spirit consistently. Jesus is Lord now, but he will rule in person and not be re-elected every 4 years by some corrupt system of politics. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. This is the book of Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. True Christians have no confidence in the flesh and ask God consistently in all areas. They can also sing his praises without any music, even when they're losing or gaining anything in this world. It makes no difference. Those not following Christ have doubts. You may start to believe lies about God until you see someone else enjoying an abundance of grace by growing up spiritually through deep repentance. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, do you still have an enmity towards this world? And if not, why not? In every area of your life. Number two, has God been resisting you? And if so, why? Give me examples. Number three, does your life now resemble a soldier? And if not, why not? If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord, and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path, the broad road that leads to destruction, looks good, and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Just confessing your sin will not save you, but deep repentance will. I was taught that if I really repented of something in my heart, I would never do it again, under pressure. The devil oppressed me for years. I was spreading lies until I saw the need for repentance of dead works, not just bad works. The Jews scattered in the persecution, chosen by God, were spreading the gospel. They were tempted by earthly wisdom. Those Jews left behind in Jerusalem were tempted to go back to the temple and their old religious roots. Examine yourself. Are you losing peace and joy in complicated situations? This is a peace and joy that only God can give. And the devil can't take it away, but you can give it away. You should be working out your own salvation in fear and trembling by losing your grip on eternal life. You will not be ready for his appearing. Repent. This is a great time to be alive. And we're not going to go backwards. We've got to go forwards and learn to hear God more consistently in the sorrows that we face since COVID. And it's your decision to make every decision his decision, not yours. Father, I pray in heaven that people will see that they have lost that enmity with the world and lost any enmity with the devil, and they will make friends with you, and they will come intimate with you, and that they will learn what it is to trust and obey in these last days. I pray that in Jesus' name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Please, we'd love to hear from you. God bless you, and thank you for listening.